Hello again, I'm Joey Little, and this is the In The Box podcast with Modern Dealership Magazine, brought to you by Auto Alert. Auto Alert CXM leverages the power of Pando and their data processing engine to provide your dealership with a comprehensive toolkit that allows you to harness your data, enhance your customer loyalty, optimize dealership operations, and energize your team. This places the customer where they should be, at the center of everything you do. On this episode, I sat down at the 2020 NADA show in Las Vegas with Terry Miller, former general manager of the number one Ford dealership in the world for 29 straight years. Terry has made a big move to become a dealership partner and general manager at a Ford store just outside Kansas City. We discussed the first five things Terry would do if you hired him to take over your dealership. I was amazed to learn that his first five focused entirely on employees. Some amazing feedback from Terry in this episode, sponsored by DealerFX. Is your service department ready to deliver the best end-to-end digital service experience? DealerFX can help. From scheduling to checkout, DealerFX's one platform gives customers an experience unlike they've had before, with the only solution that connects every stage of service. If you want to increase fixed operation sales and gross profit, get a DealerFX demo today. Visit them online at dealer-fx.com or call 877-493-0039.
Let's start the show.
It's Joey Little with Modern Dealership Magazine. We are here in the box at the NADA show 2020. I am with a man that may look familiar if you've paid attention to our videos in the past in NADA, Mr. Terry Miller. Terry Miller, now a Missouri resident, longer California.
That's right, no longer. About 6 months ago, sold it all and came out to the Midwest.
Yeah, usually people sell everything and go to Hollywood.
Yeah.
You went the opposite direction. But I do have to say, since you came to Kansas City, the Chiefs have won a Super Bowl.
See? And every playoff game I've gone to, they've won. I've got, you know, the Super Bowl under my belt. So
you may not be leaving anytime soon.
I'm not going anywhere, man. I love it.
So Terry Miller, of course, general manager at Galpin Ford. How many years were you there?
So I was at Galpin 32 years.
Yeah, 29 of those you guys spent at number one in the in the country.
Number one in the world.
In the world.
In the world, yeah.
And that was volume?
Volume. Number one volume Ford dealership.
Sold more new Fords than any other dealership ever.
That's right.
And then you get this opportunity talking to Mike DeLay and Todd Crosley to be more free. Because as a general manager working for other people, you're kind of under their...
You know, interestingly, is that it was time. It was just time for me to get out of the... I got kids and, you know, the 18-hour days and all that. And so my wife just said, you know, maybe it's time for us to take a look at something else. We had some family things come up as well. So we figured, you know, this might be the right time. And didn't really know where we were going to go.
And you just knew that something you needed to do a little change of pace.
You needed to do something. So we pulled the chute, and then I had a bunch of opportunities come my way. And when Todd and Mike approached me, I figured, you know what?
Let's
I can't think of a better fit, man. Let's do this. So,
and you've been a Kansas City Chiefs fan most of your life.
I have.
So
my grandmother and her sisters, you know, all from KC, and they, you know, own Hallmark stores and all that out there. So I used to visit when I was a kid. We used to drive out in the summertime when I was like 10 years old in her 1970 Granada with no air conditioning in July.
Really?
And I cross country, you know, and I'd never forget those summers.
Griswolds.
You know, and just how hot and stupid it was. But never thought in a million years I'd be back, but we absolutely love it out there. KC's beautiful.
Well, I want to put you on the spot, and I'm not necessarily going to focus on, you know, the former at Galpin or with Gary Crosley Ford now. What I want to talk to is Terry Miller, the captain, the general manager, the one that you've got fixed ops, you got internet, you got front of house, you got all that is underneath your realm, right? I've got a dealership. And I've just brought you in. What are the first five things that you look at? Let's just start with number one. It's the first thing that's on your list to going into a new place. And you use Crosley if you want.
Sure.
What's the first thing?
Well, I just did it, so I can tell you exactly what I did.
Yeah, but so, I mean, I just didn't want to put, you know, Crosley out there or anything.
I get it. But if I were to go to a dealership where I didn't know anybody, it was kind of like parachute in the middle of America.
It's the first thing you look at.
You look at the people. You know, really what you do is get to know everybody. I think a lot of people, when someone new comes in, they get a little nervous. What kind of changes are going to be made? And quite frankly, it's really just to get to know everybody on an individual basis. So just going and having one-on-ones with everyone, talking to everybody, getting to know who they are. I actually went to service, and because you know each department is equally as important. You know, the front end gets all the fame and glory, but really all departments have to work together in order to be successful.
Right.
So I worked in service. I had them give me a serviced outfit, and I don't know how to fix an engine, but I went out there with all the technicians and just said, you know, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. And worked with some techs and got to understand where they're coming from, because it's impossible to manage anybody unless you walk in their shoes on a daily basis. And I wanted to know exactly what they were going through. So basically just worked with the techs and got to know everybody that way.
Did you get confusion from any of them, or like, what the hell is this guy doing?
They're like, what's happening, right?
Yeah.
You know, what's happening? But
did they think it was like going to be a one-time thing? Like, here's the new guy, he's coming back, he's saying hello, and then we're never going to see him again?
I think most people think that. I think most people think that, you know, someone's going to come in and they're going to say X, Y, and Z, and then never and not follow through.
Right.
They know now that's not the case, because, like, you know, the first of the five things is to get to know the people. Find out who they are. Try to create a common bond with everybody. Let them know that you're, you know, human being just like they are. You got a family to feed just like they do, and we're all in this together, right?
Right.
So that went very well. So did that in service, did that in quick lane. And then the second thing is you've got to create and cast a vision. You've got to have a vision for everybody to follow.
Are we talking individual visions, like a career path, or are we talking about the vision for the company?
It's really a vision for the company. I think, you know, what happens is there are those who just come to work every day and they get very robotic. And I use robotic in a very serious way, because that's really what it becomes. You come in, you punch a clock, you fix a car, you leave. You come in, you say hello to customers, and you leave. And there's that lack of connection and communication amongst all the departments. So in order to get them to communicate and get everybody on the same page, you've got to have a global vision. So what we did, or what I would do if I were going into a store, I would set a vision meeting. I'd put a plan together based on the information that you receive. So you take the information from the employees when you do your one-on-ones, you find out where the pain points are, what they need, you pick the top five or six things.
Give me an example of a couple questions that you would ask in a one-on-one with an employee of
very, very, very simple. It's they're very casual. So these discussions are a very casual discussion. So
it's, you don't have a list of like,
no,
the bathroom's too dirty for you.
Yeah, no.
You just
see, this is what happens. What happens is if people feel you care about them, they will then open up and just start sharing. And what you want is really I don't want to push the witness or lead the witness. I don't
want
to lead them anywhere. I just want them to just share with me, right?
Yeah.
So what I found was what you would find is, if you were to do this, you'll find there's a common theme once you speak to all the employees. When you sit them down and I say, Joey, by the way, I'm Terry, here's my story, and this is why I'm here.
Right.
I'm in it to win it. I'm here to win. I'm not the one-month wonder where I'm going to be here and be gone. I sold everything I had just to come here, so I've got a lot at stake here to make sure we're successful, but I can't do that without you. So tell me about yourself. You know, how long you've been here for? You know, what's your dreams? What are your goals? What is it you're trying to
do? So they're giving you information, and you're learning a lot about the culture.
Yes.
From all these bits of information that are coming in.
Absolutely.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
That's right.
Right?
So really what happens is then you'll start hearing the same thing. You start talking to everybody, and you hear some of the four or five or six of the same things are being said by all these employees, and then you take that and you address them. Okay, what am I going to do about communication? Most dealerships have a very serious issue with communication, right? They don't bridge the gap between all departments. And so I knew that, you know, one of the things I needed to do, or that one thing that people need to do in general, not that it's bad communication, but just very constant communication. Tell me how I'm doing.
Right.
Tell me how the dealership is doing. How do we compare to our competition? Where are we going? So if I were to do this, I would then have what we call a vision meeting. I would take all that information.
Right.
And then I would say, and I'd create a vision for each department. And then I would share that vision with all employees. What I do is that I share it not only with the employees, but with their spouses. Because if you think about it, spouses probably wonder what their you know, our employees doing as well, but they're at work.
Right.
And I want to get them involved. So if I've got somebody that's there from 8 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night,
if they're working 12 hours or 14 hours.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
So I want them to know. And then I want to thank them for being supported in that, because we all know that if we got support at home, we're going to perform way better at work.
Easier. You're not constantly looking at your phone when you're
in
trouble.
So that works really, really well. So at our store, we had a vision meeting. We had 200 people there. I cast the vision, you know, for all the departments, and really what our feeling and what we want to do is, you've got to have a rally cry or something that you can share with everybody that they can all relate to.
I'm going to cut you off because we're number two of the five things I want to get from you.
Okay.
Because what you're telling me is, I'm going to go off the whole customer experience thing, right? What you're telling me is, because I said that you are the poster poster man for customer experience, right?
Sure.
Well, what I'm hearing from you now is that employee experience has to be understood and collected before you can have a decent customer experience.
So my article actually,
because you didn't
magazine,
start out with customer experience, you started out with the employees.
You have to. It all starts there because the customer, the employees drive customer experience. If the employees are happy, then the customers are happy. If the employees have their heads down and they're unengaged, customers have their heads down, they're unengaged. So it's really creating that feeling with the employees, which then...
That's your first two things. You're talking employee, vision for the employees.
You have to do it.
They have something to look forward to or something to work towards.
Everything I say is about employee and customer experience. It's not just customer experience, it's employee experience for sure.
You said something to me yesterday that kind of resonated, is that one of the small, tiny changes that you made is that if somebody walks into Gary Crosley Ford, and they asked the receptionist, Heather, which I love Heather, where the restroom is. Is that in the past, and nothing against Heather, she may have just pointed and said, well, it's just right down the hallway to the left.
Yep.
You implemented that Heather now gets up and escorts the customer where the restroom is.
You know, it's funny. It's really, the customer experience begins at hello. Right?
Right.
So, for example, I'll get to that, but if an example is, when I answer my phone, I don't answer, hi, this is Terry. I answer my phone, it's a great day at Gary Crosley Ford, how can I assist you? If you ever call me, that's how I answer my phone. If you call our store, that's exactly what they're gonna say. But it's really that Ritz-Carlton experience, right? I understand completely that a customer can buy a car anywhere.
Right.
Why would they choose me? It isn't always just about price, it's about how they feel. So when you walk into our dealership, or a dealership, and the receptionist greets you with, hey, welcome to Gary Crosley Ford, how may I assist you? And they say, yeah, I'm looking for the bathroom. There is no longer a pointing. You stand up, you walk them over, and then you walk back.
How do you get buy-in? How do you get buy-in for this vision?
They love
it. You put
all
the information together and you...
It's like drinking this drink, right? They're drinking it up.
Yeah.
Employees drink it up because they want to do that. They want to provide great service. They want to be able to feel, you know, it's in addition to what we're doing as far as the greeting goes, is that we have everybody wearing and dressing a little bit differently. They're dressing for success. I want any customer that walks in a dealership to know that you work there. So you're gonna have there's no mistake. You're gonna have a shirt on, you know, that has the company logo on it,
right?
Or a suit,
I've
or something
tell you,
like that.
This is very interesting because I get in a lot of trouble with my fiance. If I'm at a restaurant and a manager does approach the table and they're not logoed up or they don't have something on there, and it's just I ask them if they'll say, hey, is everything going well here? And I'm like, wait,
who are you?
what are you asking me for? You just know, like, no, I'm a manager. It's like, oh, well, I know it, but that makes a lot of sense.
But see, people feel better, so. When I wear something nice, I feel better. If I wear a suit to work, I just feel better. You know, if everybody's wearing their company, you know, garb, they just feel better. And so let's start your day off right by feeling better. And now you're really on the spot, right? Because now you've got that company, garb on. And now, you know, you're on stage. When you're at work, you're on stage. Take that pride. You know, I'm prideful to be here. And the customers can point out who you are. But it really is that it's really a neat thing to watch happen.
Yeah.
Where you can transcend, or not transcend, but you can change not just the culture, but the vibe. When you walk into the show, vibe is different.
But you're always going to have a percentage of people that are not going to buy it. Do they just kind of, do you have a way to try to work with them, or is that?
I do. So what when you have your one-on-ones, you know, when you do number one and you're talking to all the employees, you'll get a pretty good idea of the people that are a little bit tougher to crack. Those are the people I work on even harder. For me, I don't get angry when that happens.
Right.
I think of it as a not a challenge, but almost a, I'm going to turn you.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to turn you into someone that really, you know, that is going to rally with the rest of us. Because there's those people in every company. And it's not because they don't like people. They're that person that's robotic. They just come in, they do their job, but we want more than that. We want people that actually really, really care. And the way you build that, and the way you build that feeling with employees is to show that you care.
Yeah.
And if you care about them, they will reciprocate.
So it
for
is
sure.
It's got to be infectious. I mean, because you're very positive all the time. And every time that I've got my disclaimers, I bought my last five vehicles at Gary Crosley Ford before you were there. The last one I bought, you were there.
Yeah.
And you came out, you said, what's up? And you're a hugger. You're not a handshaker. You're not a high fiver.
Yep.
Is it that intimacy also, does that add to the comfort, the pride that the employees?
Well, I think it shows that there's compassion, right? You're a very, it sh- it shows that you're compassionate, and it shows that that you really, you do care more on a personal level.
Yeah.
It isn't just you're an employee, because what I tell everybody is we are all the same. I just happen to be the person that is responsible for our success.
Quarterback.
But other than that, we are all the same.
Yeah.
Right? If you know, we have a joke at work. I say my office is the cone of silence. When you come in my office and you close that door, anything you say to me is between you and me. So that you can be heard.
Is that open for non-employees as well? Like, if I just want to come talk?
Anybody.
Is it?
Anybody. You know, Frankie sat next to me. She's my assistant.
Yeah.
She's wonderful. But she laughs because she says, you know, Terry, when you're not here, it's just, this office is just dead. The moment you walk in the door, it seems like the floodgates open, you know, because we do have that open door policy. Yeah, it does get in the way of getting some things done. But that's way more important than sitting, you know, and doing reports all day.
Right.
Really being with everybody and connecting as much as you can with customers and employees is the holy grail in any dealership.
So you're number one, you're coming in and you want to talk to every employee.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to get feedback from every employee. Number two is taking the feedback that you're getting and you're creating a vision for the company.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to share that vision with the employees.
Yep.
What's number three?
Number three is the fun one. Number three is the expectations. So in light of all this happy, joy, and everything else, we also have to have and set expectations for everyone. Everyone that works there has to have a standard of sorts, where I've got expectations of you, Joey. You're a great guy, and I love hanging out with you, but you still need to perform.
You need to expect this.
So yeah. Basically what I did was, or what you would do if you were going into a new place, is that you'd set expectations for every department. Along with those, you'd have minimum standards. So you hold, you know, a group meeting with that department and say, this is what our expectation is, and I'm going to share this with everybody. So I'm going to give an expectation or share an expectation that we can all agree to. I'm going to have an expectation for you, Joey, that you feel is achievable for you, so
yeah.
We have buy-in, and now I'm going to hold you accountable for that. And if you hit that number or you hit that expectation, that's fantastic.
If you don't... Were the employees thirsty for that?
Employees...
Because I can see that they would be thirsty for that.
Every employee wants to know if they're doing good or bad.
And it, besides sales goals.
Yeah.
Because dealership's always been sales goals.
This isn't just
how
about
how many units
sales.
And what gross are you...
Sales is a part of it. Obviously, that's the front end. But that's why this is so great, is because people behind the scenes that are not customer-facing are involved.
Right.
Right? Sales isn't getting all the glory because they're the front of the dealership.
Do you think that led to the division between sales and the rest of the dealership, because sales knew their expectations, the rest of the dealership kind of felt like second-class citizens?
Well,
because
it's
they
funny.
Didn't have those?
At Crosley, you know, Todd created a great, you know, symmetry, a great vibe, so there wasn't that much there. But in general, yes, there is definitely, in most dealerships, a division between sales and service, right, from my experience. And so I always call it bridging the gap, right? Let's make a bridge. Let's build a bridge between the sales department and parts, sales department and service, sales department and quick lane.
Right.
Right? Let's build that bridge, and that's exactly what this does. It builds a bridge because this question three you asked, well, actually, number four is what I'll get to the really fun part, but number three really is just setting those expectations, letting everybody know that you're going to hold them accountable, and then actually holding them accountable.
Yeah.
Because there are companies that will, after 6 months of an employee being there, or 6 years, just walk up one day and say, you know, Joey, by the way, it's just not working out.
Right.
Well, nobody ever should
have
that.
No idea why they are.
That should never happen. If that's going to happen, the employee should know way before it happens. As a matter of fact, the employee should probably say, you know what? Based on our conversations and the expectations you have of me, I'm just not cutting it. I'm out.
Right.
That's how it should be. Nobody should ever be surprised.
Smart.
That they were let go. So by setting these expectations, right, it makes it very, very clear, right? And it's a it's something that works works for everybody.
It's great. What's your last one? What's number five?
Okay, so actually it's number four, but I don't want to get too worried.
I put number four in there as you said expectations. Number four was acting on those expectations and making sure that they are followed up on.
So that's the deal. So that's the trick. The trick is where the rubber meets the road is to be able to have a process in which you share their results with them regularly. So I call it the countdown. I do a countdown every day. Every single day I do a countdown, and every single employee gets an email from me every day. And it says, this is how we're doing in service, this is how we're doing in parts,
yeah.
This is how we're doing in quick lane, this is how we're doing in sales, based on the vision that we cast. So for example, if my...
I'm going to take a drink of your Monster.
Oh, you got it.
Tickle.
No problem. So for example, if my goal for the month of February is to sell 100 new Fords, and my goal for February in service is to write 3,600 hours, and my goal in used cars is to sell 110 vehicles, right? Everybody in the store gets a countdown. They can see what our goal was and where we actually are. And I find that people come into my office going, Terry, we're only three away.
Right.
We're only 100 hours away. And what that does is you really see towards the end of the month that they're close, they're just killing themselves to hit the number.
It's like watching, excuse me, because I have this weird tickle going on. It's like getting to every week the NCAA standings. Where you're at, third place, fourth place, fifth place. Instead of just at the very end, you find out you were first or second.
Yeah.
Wow, what is going on in this room now?
I don't know.
I'm so inspired. It's choking me up. I'm crying.
It's okay, Joey.
Terry Miller, thanks for joining me. We went over time, but we're good. We got five great things from you.
Great.
We're going to write an article from this.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Sure.
Because I think it's great. I think dealerships need to know it.
Yep.
I'm going to go drink some water.
Great.
Terry Miller's here. If you need to get a hold of him, you call him. It's going to be a great day at Gary Crossing Ford, right?
That's right. Thanks so much, Joey. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for tuning in to the In the Box Interviews podcast from Modern Dealership Magazine. This episode brought to you by DealerFX. Is your service department ready to deliver the best end-to-end digital service experience? DealerFX can help. From scheduling to checkout, DealerFX's one platform gives customers an experience unlike any they've had before, with the only solution that connects every stage of service. If you want to increase fixed operation sales and gross profit, get a DealerFX demo today. Visit them online at dealer-fx.com or call 1-877-493-0039.